Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of a two-part interview I'm having with the host of the Journey of a Christian Dad podcast, Dan Lewiggs. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. This is part two of a three-part interview, and I don't have time to back up and play too much of a replay. We just had such a great conversation, and you definitely do not want to miss any of it. So if you did miss yesterday's, go back and catch up, because we're building on that as we're going through the discussion today. Now, today, Dan's going to talk about how his upbringing taught him that it was the mother's role to be spiritual leader in his family, and how God reshaped his thinking on that so that he could become the spiritual leader in a family. Back into the interview now with Dan Lewiggs. Part of your story, though, is how you went from a high-income job to no income at all. You know, mm-hmm. So how did that shape what you're doing today?
Yeah, so part of it was that story, you know, crossing the bridge. I was, just before that was when the high-income job ended, and I really didn't know quite what path. I thought I'd just start my own agency and not really knowing much about anything as far as insurance goes. And then that led me to take a lower paying job and in the insurance business where I could be in a training position and but no income. And my wife was pregnant with our first daughter at that same time. And like people say, well, how'd you do it? I'm like, well, like you said earlier, I had no backup plan. This was the only plan. And this one was gonna work. And, you know, thankfully God put the right people in my life at the right time. As I was filtering and making decisions, I had planned to write a big check, kind of empty out the bank account and start my own agency. Mm-hmm. And on a Sunday, there was a guy sitting at a table right after church. We're doing that thing that some people do on Sundays, eat donuts. So it was a famous day at church. It was Donut Sunday. And, this guy, Mark, was sitting at the table. Not my table, but the table next to me with his wife. And all my buddies have been saying, man, you got to go talk to Mark. You got to go talk to Mark. Great guy. Not sure, you know, why, but you just have to talk to him because he's been in the business a long time and he can help. So little did I know, he'd had a surgery. So he was never at the Saturday morning men's group where everybody kept pointing at which seat was his. Mm-hmm. Never there. Oh, no, he'll be back next week. Well, he had a serious injury, and his guys do. Hey, man, how are you? I'm good. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
How are you? I'm good. In parentheses, I'm in the hospital. Doctors are taking care of me. I'll be all right. And sure enough, he gets out of the hospital, and he's sitting at that table, and his wife gets up, goes to the car to pull the car up, and he's alone. So I jump up and, hey, Mark, I'm Dan. All of our buddies, and I named like 20 guys, told me to talk to you. And I got a quick question for you. Can I talk to you for just a second? And he says, no. And I said, okay, then. My guess is your job is to get from here to the car as fast as possible. Your wife's pulling it up, my guess is. He goes, well, that's right. I said, next, would it be walked with you to the car? He says, well, I guess that would be all right. You know, he's got one job.
Amen.
I guess it'd be all right if I walk with you and talk with you. So I gave him my quick little 1 minute of where I was and what my plans were. And within 60 seconds, he stops and says, can I ask you some questions? I said, that's on you. I'm not stopping you and getting and accomplishing your mission. But if you stop and ask me questions, I'm game.
Amen.
He asked me a few more questions. He says, how the heck did you figure this out so quick? This insurance business. It seems like you got an understanding of it. And I said, well, again, I had no other choice. I'm like, I tried a few different things and got some education and some learning and it's go time.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, tomorrow's the day where I'm going to write a big check and start an agency and all that. And he says, could you delay that, you know, for a little bit. And I said, well, I need a good reason. I said, sometimes you just got to put a start date in and draw a line in the sand, and that's just it. Dig your heels in and go. And he says, well, I'd like you to come down to my agency and check everything out. And I won't be there, but you can talk to the accountant. You can use the software. You can, you know, whatever you want to do. I said, well, that does sound like a good idea. Actual hands-on, real working knowledge of what it'll be like after I sign this dang check. And thankfully, everything worked out together. He's now a business partner of mine. And as Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that day I had hope, and I could see what my future was, and I trusted Mark was a great man, and he had plenty of testimonials saying that, you know, he's a really good guy and treated people fairly, and, you know, he was just a man of Christ at that time because he had that physical injury. It's like, actually lost his leg. He had had a surgery just the other day and had it taken off, and he says, man, I'm so thankful for my physical injury, because I wouldn't be, you know, as close to Jesus as I am now. He says, before I was about it, now I'm in it. Now I read the Bible every day, you know. He says, so I'm thankful I don't have a leg. I'm like, what? That's faith right there. That's he goes, he changed the course for me. He goes, I could have lived my life a certain way. But I, you know, I was getting along. Things were okay. I didn't really have problems, and I wasn't all that close to the Lord. I wasn't all that far either, but I was just doing the same thing, and that altered my course, and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Amen. My gosh.
And it's amazing, you know, because you talk about Jeremiah 29:11. I have a wallet, and there's a metal placard on the wallet, and that scripture is on there. So every time I pull out the wallet, it's right there. You know?
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, seriously, you can have a mindset of all this stuff happens to me, all this negativity around me and all that. But if you just go back to that, and it really helps if you have other people also that have a mindset of abundance and prosperity and just believing in God and being able to have conversations that really can just change the way, you know, the mountains aren't mountains anymore. They're just little speed bumps. You know, times get tough, but they just don't feel as tough as they used to.
Yeah. Well, I told you my dedication to the military was 100%, 110%.
Yeah.
And when I got out, I mean, you know, I was an officer, so, you know, when you get passed over, you know, you have no option. And so that was, you know, what happened to me. And it was like, well, you know, I mean, I was bitter, angry. Like I said, I wasn't born again. But, you know, I look back now. I got out in 89, 91 is when the first Gulf War kicked up, and, you know, they've been going 20 years. But in the CAV, matter of fact, our squadron was attached to the CAV division that made that end run going around Iraq to come in from behind. That was – we would have been part of that. I would have been promoted, and I would have been in charge of some troops for that. So, you know, who knows what God was keeping me from.
Sure.
And, you know, then, you know, he had the insurance that provided for us right then. And then, you know, when everything packed up and left, it's like, okay, now what? And he got me, I'm a cop or was a cop, and that provided the pension, the retirement. I mean, you know, and I look back at it and I think, you know, and just getting hurt on the job as a cop, you know, I've had like 34 different medical procedures done since 2007. And I look back and I say, you know, if it wasn't for what happened in 1989, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. If it wasn't for, you know, being in the insurance business, making these contacts and all that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And if it wasn't for being hurt on the job as a cop, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. All these pieces of the puzzle just come floating together when you look at it from – you know, the end game perspective, like, wow, you know, that you recovered that fumble down on the other goal line, and now here you are, world champions type thing. Now, when you were growing up, you believed that the mothers in the family had the spiritual responsibility and authority in the home. What made you believe that?
You know, it's funny how, like, whatever you see in life, that's the facts of life. That just is what it is. And there may be people around you that say something different, but I didn't either hear or I didn't believe other ways of how life was. The way I saw it, my mom was the spiritual leader of our family. She, when it was Sunday and it was time to get to church, she was the one that rallied the troops and got us in the car and we went. Hmm. When it was leading prayer around the house, she was the one that did it. And in my dad's family, it was clearly his mom. His dad was just not at all. I think when they went to church, I think his dad didn't go with them. I think it was his mom that took him and his sister, and dad stayed home. If I remember the story correctly. And then on my mom's side, grandma, man, she prayed all the time, and she was, you know, very much in the Word and very much pulling the Bible out. I didn't see grandpa do that so much. Mm-hmm. So what I found out years later was that grandpa was very much the spiritual leader on my mom's family. However, I didn't see that part. So my view of the world was that the women were the strong ones and carried the family in that way, and for whatever reason, you know, led them spiritually. Okay. And it's not that way in the Bible, but in my day-to-day life, that was what I had seen. So I said, okay, I'll sign up for that. I'll get married someday, and I'll let my wife, you know, drive the car, take us around, open the Bible, pray, you know, whatever she wants to do, I'm good with it, you know. She wants to lead us to God, great. And man, was I off base there.
Amen. Well, what made you realize that you needed to be the spiritual leader in the family and in the home?
Yeah, there's kind of a series of events that led up to it. I was married, praying to have kids. We were having some struggles there. We ended up finding NAPRO technology, the Creighton model. And thankfully that worked, but it was years before we circled back around and got to that, and things worked. So this was in a time where we had no children, and we're in a time of struggle. We're looking at adoption and different things. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to have kids, and I was a little bit older in life for having kids, I thought I better get back in shape again, because they're going to want to play. And my vision of being a dad is playing with kids. Like, I'm going to be physically active. I'm not going to be the dad at the park sitting on the bench and not being involved. I'm going to play the game. So let me get in shape. So I went to the gym, and a great guy was there. He was a professional soccer player that I'd kind of looked up to in my childhood. Next thing you know, he's my workout partner. Like, him and I didn't pay him to train me. He's like, he asked me, hey, will you train with me? You've got such fire and passion for getting in shape, and as you actually push me, I'm like, oh, that's great. Through that, a couple guys invited me on a retreat through a golf tournament he had, and each one of them individually invited me, and I'd been praying for years to help me get to meet people at the church I was at. You know, I was a single guy that wasn't in the single guy age range. Mm-hmm. I was married, but my wife didn't come to church.
Yeah.
And you know, I kept praying this one family would be there at Mass, and they never were. Turns out they always went to 12, and I always went to a different service. Mm. And I was at the Saturday morning men's group, kind of with a whole bunch of these guys from the golf tournament, from the gym, from one of the guys from that family I was talking about was there. And in that, guy says, opens up with a statistic, and he says, you know, men, here's the deal. We did a, you know, big survey, big research study, and we found out that like 8 to 10% of kids will go to church on their own after high school if mom and dad weren't really churchgoers. Mm. So if they weren't the example, and I'm like, wow, that seems pretty good that 8 to 10% would somehow find their way on their own. And then they said, now if mom was the reason why the family went to church, like 12 to 14% of the time the kids would go on their own after high school. And I thought, oh, that's horrible. Like, that didn't make much of a difference at all.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about the dads, and we're going to get kicked around a little bit, and we're going to be 14 to 16%, something statistically insignificant, and felt hopeless. That's not what he said. He said, like, 88 to 92% of the time the kids will go on their own if dad was the reason why the family went to church.
Amen. Amen.
I said, sign me up.
Amen. Yeah, that's good stats there.
I said, that man, if I can lead my kids to heaven, I didn't even have kids, but I said, something's radically got to change. You know, who's the spiritual leader of my home? Not me, not my wife. Mm. Like, she didn't even know I had this contract with her that she had to be the one running the show there. She had no idea that was the contract I had ironclad with her. Crazy. Oh, and man, that one day changed the trajectory of my life. I suddenly became serious about learning what it was to be a dad. I'd already, you know, taken on the physical component to get back in shape again. And then from there, I'm like, let me just begin this journey and, you know, really understand what it is to be a husband, really understand what it is to be a Christian dad, really understand what it is to be a humble leader, put some discipline and some practice into my life. And at the same time, in a sales career and business owner career where, you know, you needed all those things so you could have success there also. So I went in heavy on the education side where I just learned, got tons of mentors, people that were experts in many different spaces of life. If I wanted to get better at it, I found somebody who was ranked as one of the best in the world at it. Mm. I could name names. Some of these guys are fairly famous, and I'm just thankful that they're in my life today. So yeah. You're the average of the five people that you hang around. And
that's true. Amen.
I went out and I found some just fantastic people that were great at certain things, and Amen. They just helped me so much through the years, and I'm thankful they're still in my life to this day.
Amen. Amen. Great story. Now, when you started sharing your faith, how difficult was it for you to get started sharing your faith?
Oh, my gosh, man. This guy, Hob, asked me this question. Javier, Puerto Rican guy with a fiery attitude, and he says, man, I want to talk to you. I said, yeah, what about? He's down in Louisiana. And I said, I want to know how you share your faith. You just do it so effortlessly and boldly, and I said, I'll be glad to tell you. However, I don't think I do. I somewhat disagree. I'm a little afraid. I limit what I say. I'm careful, and I don't want to push people away from me. And we kind of talked it through, but part of it was understanding that there's a whole lot of people out there that do believe in God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whether they're, you know, churchgoers, whether they're routine Bible readers, whether, you know, whatever the case is, maybe they were just like I was before I went to church or before I went back to church again. Regardless, I'm like, most people believe that Christian principles are good. So even if they're not Christian, they say, I like those principles. I'm going to live my life that way too. I don't believe in Christ, but, you know, being good to others, that's a good thing. Sign me up. But I don't want to talk to Christ or any of that. Okay. I'm like, wow. So I can talk a bit about this and have people come my direction, realizing some are going to, you know, shoot arrows at you, throw daggers at you, give you a glare. But most aren't. You know, people are good people. And I said, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. And so I just started sharing a little bit here and there. And it just worked out. Like, amen. The people that it turns off, I don't really think it turns them off so much as it gets them thinking. And I've had so many people come back around and say, you know, hey, I'd like to hear more. Just Monday, I had a guy shoot me a message. He's like, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's on me that I'm supposed to do more. What can I do to help?
Amen.
I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, the Holy Spirit put on you to be about your Father's business. Like, let's go. Let's figure this out. So we had a phone call. I had a busy day, but he's like, hey, can we talk? Mm-hmm. So we set aside some time and got a conversation in for about 45 minutes. And
praise the Lord.
He's fired up, motivated, and, you know, is becoming a leader inside of the Journey of the Christian Dad Facebook page. So we got a nice Amen. Community over there of dads helping dads.
Yep. Amen. What do you recall as that pivotal moment when you decided you're going to share your faith and if it caused a rift, I mean, so be it, but you were not going to be shy about your faith anymore?
Well, I guess there's two quick things, more recent things. So there were things that led up to it. You know, we talked about a couple of these already, but recently had two conversations with God. One, my friend Brian was dying. He was a bodybuilder, a great-looking guy, great wife, great kids, and he had a cancer. And after a while, we realized that, you know, his time on earth was going to be limited. So I kept talking to him and said, you know, how's your Bible going? How's your church services going? You know, what have you got? Anything you need to uncover? He says, man, he goes, I just appreciate you checking in on me all the time. I'm family's gone and I'm alone a lot and I'm in the Bible a lot. I'm talking to God a lot. I said, man, that's great. So the night that he passed away, we all went up to the hospice room. Thankfully, they let us in. We had a bunch of us up there. His kids' friends were up there. I mean, we thought he was on his way out that night, and then he just kept struggling and fighting and little bits of oxygen here and there. And we thought, man, he's going to be around for a while. And the doctor's like, he might be here another day or 2 days or maybe even a couple of weeks. Mm. We're like, oh my gosh, like, what do we do? And it was about 9 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night, and me and a few guys were there, and then the immediate family was there too. And we're like, we think we should give them some space, and we should go, and we'll come back tomorrow. And I got home at maybe 10:30 or so at night, and get a phone call. You know, I left my ringer on. I never have my ringer on at night, but I left my ringer on that night. And a good buddy of mine is on the other line, and I said, "Oh man, this is that phone call, isn't it?" He says, "Yep, this is it." I said, "Oh, so what do we do now?" And we just kind of sat there in silence for a while. He says, "I really don't know." I said, "Okay, you need to call some other guys, don't you?" He says, "I do." I said, "Well, I appreciate, you know, the courage of you calling to tell me." Hang up the phone, and I'm like in shock, but knowing that that was going to be a reality. My mind's just racing like a hamster on a wheel. Like, I am just not going to get any sleep tonight, and I'm going to feel terrible tomorrow, and I got stuff to do, and this isn't going the direction I want it to go. Me not being able to sleep tonight is not going to be beneficial to anybody. Like, all right, let me stop these thoughts. Let me take them captive. I love that it says that in the Bible.
Amen.
I'm like, hey, God, you know, help me out here. Like, this is going a direction I don't want it to go. Help me out here, you know. And I said, what could I do in this moment that would make things better? I said, the only thing I can do is pray. And I said, hey, God, I talk to God sometimes like that. Hey,
yep.
God,
yep.
Hear me now. I need some help. And not only do I need some help, what I actually really need is, if it's your will, take Brian's soul to heaven tonight. Bring him up there with you. I just want him in heaven. I clearly, distinctly hear back, I did. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's great. But I want him right there with you. He is.
Amen.
God, no. Like, okay, like, that's great. He's in heaven. I'm glad he's there with you. But, like, just put your arm around him. Like, right there with you. Like, just embrace him and just stop. Like, that forceful, powerful, authoritarian voice. He is.
Amen.
Okay. Sorry, God.
Amen.
Oh, I'm just going to praise you and thank you, and tears are rolling down my eyes, and my wife's, you know, sleeping in the bed next to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, honey, look, you know, I just talked to God. Like, this is unreal. And rolled back over, and I went right to sleep.
Praise
Slept
the
like
Lord.
A baby.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So that was awesome. So that was one time. And then I went on this retreat, and in this retreat, I knew I was going to have kind of an isolated prayer time where I was just focused on God. And usually you do things like that, and there's usually some struggle in life that you have. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, God, it's almost my turn to go into the room and isolate and just pray to you. And I have no idea what I want to talk about with you. And he says, And I said, "Have you got something you want to talk to me about? I'm okay just getting on my knees and just worshiping you and praising you and telling you how great you are and appreciating you. And like, that's fine. You know, if it's 15 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it is, or all night, I don't care. But normally when we get together like this, you and I usually talk about some stuff, and it's usually me coming to you with something, but I got nothing. Do you want to talk about anything?" And he says, "Yeah, your podcast." And I said, no, God, not my podcast. You were at the meeting I was at earlier today, and I told the guy he asked me what I was going to do, what my next big thing was. And instead of telling him, I told him what I was not going to do. And that was start my own podcast, because I did not want to do the editing, the engineering, the artwork, the work. I'm like, it seemed like that was really going to get in the way and make things messy in my life or difficult or challenging. And you understand how podcasting goes. And oh, yeah. I really didn't understand what I didn't understand. I just knew it was going to take some effort. And I said, I'm willing to be a guest on other people's shows. Like, and you were at that meeting and you heard me say that. And he says, "Yeah, you're right. I was." So anyway, about your podcast. So I guess we're talking about my podcast.
Amen.
I said, "You know, I haven't come up with a topic. I've thought about it for years. People have asked me to do various things, and none of them had a longer lasting, you know, more than a season kind of a meaning to me. And a couple of topics did have some interest, but I've already got some people in my life that are close to me. They're really, really good in those areas, and I already have something good going. So I didn't want to encroach on kind of their territory that they do for a livelihood." And like, I didn't have any interest in. I'm like, "God, what's the topic? Like, help me out here. Like, I understand you're telling me I'm doing one. I'm willing. I'll follow. But I don't have a topic. I need a topic, God." He says, "All right, how about the Christian dad?" I said, "Well, that one's one that's got some meaning to me. You got my attention. Keep talking. What will we call it?" And I kid you not, he says, "Try out the Christian dad." I said, "That's simple. I like simplicity. I'm not 100% comfortable with that title. However, I like simplicity. So God, all right, I will. I'll try it out." So I went and bought the domain names, got the email address, all the stuff.
Amen. Amen.
Fast forward a little while later, and me and Sean Douglas were talking one day, and
great guy.
I'm like, "I'm just not comfortable with the title." And we talked and talked for a while, and finally we came up with it. The Journey of a Christian Dad, Becoming the Spiritual Leader of Your Home.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And kind of went from there. I've just had some fantastic conversations with some great people and built a little podcast community and Facebook community, and lead people through a daily Bible devotional now. And it's just growing leaps and bounds. And, you know, each time something big happens related to that topic, every time it's God touching it and kind of just being willing to do what God, you know, puts in motion. So,
yeah.
just been incredible.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for part two of this special three-part interview with Dan Lewiggs. I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. I mean, Dan's story, it can be relatable on so many levels to so many people. And that's the reason why I invited him on the podcast, because I wanted to make sure that you could get the most out of the information he's sharing. Now, go down in the show notes, click the link, go to his podcast, listen to his podcast, subscribe to his podcast. It is such a blessing. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Go to the Facebook page, join his Facebook group as well. Now, be sure that you come back tomorrow for the part three of our interview, because we are just going to dive right in, and it is going to be awesome. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss tomorrow. We have some exciting stuff. He's going to talk about his podcast, talk about the Facebook group, and I give a little bit of background about how I got started as well. We have such a great conversation. So till next time, this is Pastor Bob Ramayan. Be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.